Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Very sad to see Bob go, but we forge on here on Pomp and Joe. That's what we do. We play hurt, we play shorthanded, and we win the game. No free passes here, huh, Limits?
Oh, no passes. We move on and we rise in the face of adversity.
Somebody tweeted out, was it the anniversary of the Band Is on the Field game yesterday, which a guy named Joe Starkey, who was the Cal announcer, also the Penguins announcer before Mike Lang, I might add. It was the anniversary, and Donnie Football tweeted this out yesterday, and I said, I give Stanford a pass on that game. Don't you, Donnie? It was very strenuous because the band was on the field. You got to give them a pass, right?
And when you ended up making that trick shot in basketball in the video that's out with Megan McConnell right now, you can check it out on all our socials at 93.7 The Fan. Donnie said that he gave me a pass for missing the trick shot
I like that
you attempted. I got a pass. Thank you, Donnie.
It was rather strenuous for you. This was so much fun. You could check out the video on our Twitter site, our X site, or at 93.7thefan.com, I believe it's up, was our visit to see Megan McConnell over at Duquesne.
And there will be more videos that come out from that visit as well, Joe.
The more I looked at it, I wasn't paying attention while she was shooting. She has a very interesting shooting style. And man, she cranks it like Steph Curry. I mean, she was going out. I'm like, where are you going?
It's easy. It looks easy coming off her hand.
Yeah. 28 feet looks easy.
Yeah. You know, I was shooting threes last night in pickup basketball at St. E's. And, you know, I was thinking about the lines, and it's obviously further back at Duquesne. And it started to comprehend to me, like, man, I'm making all these threes last night. Why did I not make them on Monday? Well, maybe because the line was like 3 feet further back.
Huge difference.
Huge.
You don't think it is, but it is. And my legs just, I can't shoot the college three. Not without, you know, a week to ramp up or something. So she killed me in that. But there's going to be a little video coming out of our free throws, isn't there? Limits.
And something that's also happened near where they tipped the ball off.
We each had our moment in the sun, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Let's hear from Artie Smith, coming off kind of a rough outing, the Steelers offense. I mean, kind of. They didn't score a touchdown. He's had two games this year where the offense didn't score a touchdown. I think he's a huge upgrade on Matt Canada. Limits would be a huge upgrade on Matt Canada. But I think for the most part, honestly, Arthur Smith has done a good job. You can tell that there's an established offensive mind in the room. And how much of a difference that makes. Having said that, they are coming off a touchdownless game against their rival who had been struggling badly on defense. So I can guarantee you this, win or lose tonight, if Russell has a bad game and the offense has a bad game, I'm not going to be here tomorrow. You and Donnie Football, and I think a little bit of Pony, you guys are going to be talking to concerned fans about the offense and Russ. I'll tell you that right now.
I think I'll be a little bit concerned, too, because this is not the same Cleveland defense that last year was receiving all these awards, even though, what stat was it? They were the worst pass
red
defense.
Zone. Worst red zone
defense.
Not that that's important, just holding people from touchdowns when they get down there. So you have a bunch of Artie Smith quotes. Let's crank them out here and riff for a little while on them.
Let's start with Artie talking about teams trying to take away Russell Wilson's moon ball after the success in the last few weeks.
Yeah. Obviously, when you hit enough go balls, shame on them. They're going to keep up, come up and give it to you. So, and you find different ways. I mean, we got the one to George. I believe that was in the third quarter down our sideline. So the options are there. It's just, there's a fine line between chasing those because you become really inefficient in different ways. You know, we were able to get a explosive with Darnell, kind of offering an intermediate action. I mean, those are the games. But there is a fine line. And that's the thing is that you're doing something well, they're going to adapt. And so, you know, you can't just go chasing. You can't reprint the game plan every week. You know, people try that. That's usually not a good plan.
Very interesting. And a lot of tentacles to that discussion. First of all, I mean, the moon ball by its very nature is going to be 50-50 some of the time. And it's going to take a perfect throw. Russ is very good at them. He did try a couple more moon balls last week. And what else I hear there, maybe, is Artie and others, a little bit of chatter around the league. You read and hear from time to time about you don't want Russ to think he's going to cook on those too much. How about the middle of the field? So I can't help but notice that Artie talked about that really nice throw down the seam to Mount Washington. That's just flat out something that Russ and this offense has to do more. They got to get the ball to the middle of the field. We've only talked about this for the last 4 years, but they have to. They have to exploit the middle of the field. I hear his point there. You know, you can't live on moon balls alone. Have you heard that? It's an old saying. You can't live on moon balls alone. Jump balls, 50-50 balls, you just can't. It's got to be part of your arsenal, not the thrust of your passing game.
That's why no one lives on the moon, Joe.
Good point. Or Uranus, last I heard.
That's correct. Or Pluto.
But I do think he's saying there that we got to get to the middle of the field more. Don't you?
And I think
I bet you that's the message to Russ this week is, Russ, nice moon balls. That didn't sound right. Nice, you know, throw it when it's, use it as part of our arsenal. We've got a whole different part of the field to exploit here.
Yeah, but not all.
Not just the sidelines.
And I think that's why he pointed out the Darnell Washington play, because those two plays, significant chain-moving plays, two chunk plays over the middle, because teams are giving the Steelers opportunities over the middle if they want to exploit them. But also, Russell's... And do you blame it on the line? Do you blame it on Russell's inability to get the ball out quick enough, too? Was kind of exposed against Baltimore, right? Mm. I mean, Adafe Owe sacked him three times in the first quarter. So, also looking over the middle of the field could help in that regard, too.
I don't look well in this Duquesne video. Something needs to be done here.
What do you think you look like?
I look like ashen.
What?
All white. Like... The hair is gray. Again, the bags under the eyes.
Well, is gray, yes.
I've got to get out more, exercise more, eat a little better, and take up Bob's offer of makeup for the eye bags. I think all that would help.
Yeah, I think it would. I also don't understand why you wore sweatpants and not shorts.
Because I was cold. It's a fairly obvious
inside.
Reason. Were you warm in there?
Yes, in the gym, yes.
I wasn't. I was cold. Anyway, the next Artie Smith thing.
Your shooting, though, was red hot, Joe.
Was hot.
Yes. Here's Artie Smith talking about the red zone issues.
Every time you get down there, you need to come away with touchdowns. Some of it give Baltimore credit. Like I said, we all got to do a better job there. We want to come away. You know, we don't have that turnover. It might have been 7 field goals and 21 points. I'd be slicing it up. We need to be cleaner there. And some of it's credit to defense and other things that we all got to do better. And then just the flow of the game, too, situational stuff. You know, those are the games within the games. You talk about winning as a team. Obviously, you'd love to score 42 points, but you hold the ball for 36 minutes. Defense plays like that. They don't get rolling. I don't think Derek got to his mid-20s or 30 carries, and we've done a good job possessing the ball, and I thought we were pretty physical, especially down the fourth quarter. We got to punch it in, though.
Yeah, that'd be good. And they're at the bottom of the league still, and that's why people are calling for a little more Justin Fields in the red zone. Having said that, I went back and looked at every single snap they had in the red zone, and I didn't have a problem with Artie's play calling. I really didn't. Like, what do we all say when they're running it down there. Like when they run to get there, we say, keep giving it to Najee. And there were two different series where he did. And then the Ravens stopped him. So they went to something else. There were two 50-50 jump balls for George Pickens. They promised us Pickens was going to see the ball in the end zone. I think he's had more end zone targets than any receiver in the league. To me, those are good calls. I really didn't like the second one because they were going for a field goal again. If that gets picked, it's the same thing as Mount Washington. The Mount Washington 50-50 ball, a horrible decision, but the play call's not bad. And they hit Freiermuth with one play down there, and then there were a bunch of throwaways where Russ was being extra careful. He went from extra careful to very extra not careful. I get it. Point being, I didn't have a problem with how Arthur Smith called the game in the red zone. I think some of their offensive line issues come to fruition in the red zone. All of which, put that in a little pot and stir it, and a little answer you get is Justin Fields for, yeah, a couple more snaps, I think. Gives you an extra weapon in the red zone, especially deep in the red zone. He's been very effective there. Listen, some people would say, Russ is playing really well these days. They were saying that going into the Baltimore game. And this is always the argument when you bring in another quarterback. It was in New Orleans when they had Taysom Hill and Breeze. Why take your quarterback off the field to bring in that guy? Even if he's got talent and everything, but why take Breeze off the field? Why take this Russ when he's hot off the field? The Steelers put in Fields in a key situation. He was sitting the whole game, and they put him in that situation. So they obviously have confidence in him. So do it more. There's no issue here. I don't think Russ would have an issue. I think it's just smart football. Tough to score down there. Let Fields take some cracks at it.
I think a well-executed pick play down on the goal line could also be, as long as it's executed or there's no pass interference, a good thing for them. And that's something that Artie Smith even said. They wanted to use Justin Fields even sooner in the game until the opportunity later presented itself.
I was actually looking to get to it earlier. You know, we stalled out on too many third downs, and you know, we did have a few third and longs, but too many third and shorts that we stalled out on. We got to do a better job as you get through it. You know, I gave him a heads up, and then we went back to it and just felt like that was the best call we had in the situation to get something going. Worked out. I think we got 8 yards on that one.
Yeah, man, that's a major weapon. It's one thing if the offense is going great and Fields is just sitting and watching the entire game, then you don't even really think about him. But when you start to sputter, then the thought comes to mind, this guy is, as a runner, a game breaker. He's an electric athlete as a runner. Why wouldn't you want that to be at least a little part of your offense? Why wouldn't you want 5 touches a game from that? I would. Not to mention other teams have to account for him now. They have to account for something else. They have to prepare for something else all week too, especially on a short week like this. I'd love to see some Justin Fields tonight in different situations. I think that's a weapon the Steelers have that should be utilized. Get a little creative. But yeah, man, deep in the red zone, I'm bringing him into the game as the quarterback.
I'd bring him in on first down. And if he doesn't get it, run it again on second down. And then if you want to bring in Russ, depending on what the situation is, I mean, the option worked against Baltimore. A good defense at the line of scrimmage, what one of the best, if not the best, teams in run defense. And Justin Fields, if he didn't slide, probably would have picked up another 5 yards there. One play, ended the game. They ended up getting it anyway. But
man, that's the beauty of it, too, is that a broken play or a bad play, a play that the other team has snuffed out, however you want to label it, with Russ, that's a throwaway. He had 4 throwaways in the red zone the other day, 4 of them. With Justin, that might become a touchdown. Any one of those. Broken play, good play by the defense, somebody screws something up, big pass rush. He can turn that into a touchdown. I just think it makes sense. I was talking with Adam Bittner of the Post-Gazette after the game the other day, and I wasn't leaning in that direction, but the more I saw the numbers for Russell in the red zone this season compared to Justin, I completely changed my mind. I'm on the other side of it, and I hope that we do see Justin tonight.
And you and I aren't advocating for a full drive of Justin Fields. Just situationally, 5-6 plays when
exactly.
It can matter most.
Exactly. Get him the ball a handful of times in the game. And when you're down there at the 7, the 4, whatever, when you're inside the 10, I just think it's really smart.
Artie was also talking about the Justin Fields package and how it worked against Baltimore.
There's a fine line, you know, to do it. Justin is a, you know, in this role as a gadget guy. I mean, Justin to me is a, we've got two starting quarterbacks and he's a hell of a football player. And so if he can help the team, and there is a fine line. I've done it a little bit in my past. We did it on the stretch with Ryan Tannehill and Marcus Mariota, but a different situation. So when you have the opportunity, we've had things up and there's the way the game was going and throw something at him and put another dynamic football player out there. That certainly helped us, in situational football.
Yes, it did. I'm sorry that Justin slid when he slid, but he knew his mistake, and he said next time he'd just take the hit and get it.
I think it was Ben Skoranek who immediately put his hands on his helmet. It was like, oh,
I saw
like
it right
it was
away.
The end of the world.
Sometimes I forget about that rule. What was it, the Pitt game last year? Remember the slide play?
Yeah, I think it was last year. Might have been 2 years ago.
Might have been two.
But I mean,
where they lost a game because the quarterback slid too soon. My brain forgets. Like, as soon as I saw Justin do that, I'm like, all right, first down. Then I'm like, oh, my God, no, he slid too soon.
I don't like
it's
that
where
rule.
You begin the slide.
Yeah, I don't like that rule. I really don't.
Tell me more about that.
Well,
why not?
I understand why the rule is what it is, because that is the point of when you are first giving yourself up when you start the slide. Maybe it's just for me, like, Justin Fields, why not just dive forward? Like, even if you leap forward onto the ground, like you're falling onto a little pillow on your bed.
Wait
just
a second.
Fall, dive forward.
If
don't slide.
If you dive forward, aren't you giving yourself up just in a different manner?
Yes, but you're still getting an extra yard.
Well, then you're right then. It's a stupid rule.
So, I mean, it's the same concept.
Yeah. Well, no, the real thing is, and he said it, do whatever you have to do to get the first down.
Right.
I mean, he's basically a running back at that point, so treat it like you were a running back. He said, I need to take a hit there, and he's right.
You're giving yourself up. So, I don't know, like, I understand why the rule is what it is, but if I'm Fields in that situation, and even we've seen it with Wilson, just fall forward a little bit. I mean, just same thing happens with Josh Allen.
Limits has a series of over-unders individually that him and I can go over next. I look forward to it. I think a great bet, as Dorn was talking about this morning, is Pat Freiermuth. Last I saw, over-under 17.5 yards. Speaking of all of what we just spoke about with Arthur Smith, basically saying he wants a more diversified offense. You know, if your passing game is a series of moon balls, you might want to diversify a little, and you got to get the ball to 88 in different ways, I think. And I think they will. You like Twix bars, Limits?
I love Twix bars, Joe.
Feels like it's everything you want in a candy bar.
Yeah, there's a lot of chocolate. It's like a cookie.
Caramel?
Chocolate cookie. Some caramel involved.
Is there nougat?
I don't know.
Something crunchy's in there.
There is.
Not that nougat is crunchy, but something's crunchy, like a cookie. It's unbelievable that
they invented this. One of my favorites.
Yeah, it's really good.
Kit Kats? Like Kit Kats?
I got... there's a store in Mount Lebanon that has like imported candy, and I wound up there by accident because I forgot to get us Halloween candy. And it was Kit Kats imported from Japan, strawberry flavored. Oh my God, I put them in the freezer. Amazing.
Were they that much better than American
Kit
Kats?
Yes, they were. Yes, they were. They were strawberry.
Hmm.
You've never heard of that, have you?
No.
I
didn't know they had them.
Yep, they're in my freezer right now.
Wonderful.
I'll bring you some.
Thank you, please.
Unless you keep insulting me.
I didn't insult you.
Yes, you did.
Strawberry's not my favorite.
Then why would you want one?
Because I will try it.
Okay.
Thank you.
How about Colony's visit today, huh?
Unexpected, but always good to see Jim.
What a treat he is.
He used to have a big party on the 4th of July, right?
He still does, as far as I know. Have you ever been invited?
No. Have you been invited? I know you have.
Yes, I've only made it once, I think. And then in the middle, everything was awesome. I was already having stomach problems. And then I had to leave because I didn't want to defile his house. I was having more blowouts than the 1960 World Series.
We were supposed to have an end-of-year summer party at the Bechtold Resort, but Mr. Starkey wasn't able to attend.
Sometimes I do have stomach problems, I have to say.
Yes. Even though I don't think that's what it was.
Neither do I. 50-minute mark on the fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler. How do you know what it was?
Because you told me what it was.
What was it?
I'm not going to share. I don't think you'd want me to share.
Right. I forget what it was. 50-minute mark on the fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. And today's fan for the win game changer is Southside Plumbing and Heating. Southside Plumbing and Heating making a donation to the Women's Center and Shelter to support women and children in need this holiday season. All right, Limits, we have a big ball game tonight. We've established that it's bigger than some people, maybe a lot of people, give it credit for. This ain't a house money game. This is a one seed game. Win this, you're 9-2 with 10 days or so to prepare for the Bengals, to rest for the Bengals. Get ready to play them. They're dangerous, but obviously beatable since everybody's beating them. And then you're 10-2. And then you have Cleveland at home. And then you're 11-2. And then you really start talking about one seeds. You lose tonight, it becomes much less realistic. And that's what I'm after. I'm after the rest for Cam Hayward and TJ and a banged up Alex Highsmith all season and Minka. Get that rest and bring somebody here for a divisional round game. I maybe I'm crazy. I think that would be hugely beneficial and hugely important. And I think you lose tonight and the odds go down drastically. Like, you know, those ESPN odds where if you win this game, your playoff chance is 73%. If you lose, it's 25. I'd like to see that for the Steelers in relation to the number one seed tonight. And I'll make up my own odds. You ready?
Yes.
If they win tonight, their odds to get the number one seed is 47%, according to the Starkey meter.
Okay.
If they lose, it's 11%. That's a big difference.
That's a huge difference.
What would you put it at?
If they win, I give
them... The Limits meter.
The Limits meter says that if they win tonight, they have a 40% chance of getting the number one seed.
Yeah.
Maybe closer to 35. And if they lose, it goes down to 10.
So we're in the same ballpark.
We're in the very similar ballpark, yes.
All right. Give me some over-unders on the game, if you'd be so kind. I love that music.
All right, Joe. Let's start with Russell Wilson. We'll do some Browns as well. Starting with the quarterbacks. Russell Wilson, over-under 182.5 passing yards.
I'm going to say under. I don't think it's going to be a great day. What are they saying wind-wise? You said the weather earlier that it was rain was kind of the Crowley weather report had rain for an hour and then not rain for 2 hours. I'm more interested in the wind than the rain.
Yes, it is expected to rain at 7 o'clock, but clear up after that with low precipitation chances as we get further and further on into the day. So as the game gets later...
What's the wind limits? The wind is what I want.
The wind is 14 miles an hour.
Hmm. Somebody said yesterday it was going to get up to 40. 14 and 40 is a big difference. Is it going to stay that way?
I'm checking. Checking. Yes, 14 miles an hour.
All right. Well, that's not totally insignificant, but that's less than I thought. 182.5, I'll go under.
I'm going to go slightly over. Jameis Winston, 217.5.
I'll go over just because if they fall behind, he's going to go crazy, and he always seems to throw for a lot of yards. I know that's not true that he always does, but it always seems that way and makes a lot of plays for both teams, usually.
Typically the case, but I think they're going to try to run the ball a lot, so I'm going to go under for Jameis and over for Nick Chubb at 52.5 rushing yards. That seems like a low number.
Not really. Has he gotten over that yet? That injury was so horrific, and the little bit I've seen of him since is basically what I expected, sadly, because I love Nick Chubb, is that he's a shell of himself, so I'm going to go under.
Chubb on the season so far in his just four games, 22 yards against Cincinnati, 52 against Baltimore, 39 against the Chargers, 50 against New Orleans, so he's only hit the 52-yard mark once, so no, he hasn't hit that yet, but he will in this game against the Steelers because he was hurt in Pittsburgh. And he will try to get his revenge against the Steelers. Najee Harris, 73.5 rushing yards.
Over. I think Najee has a good game tonight. You?
I think over as well. Jaylen Warren, 32.5 rushing yards.
Over. I think Jaylen's starting to look, not starting, he's been looking like himself for about 3 weeks or so now. after a really slow start. His first carry against the Ravens, he just steamrolled somebody. It was amazing. He's himself again. Over.
I think he's going to go under rushing, but he's going to go over that 32.5 in total scrimmage yards. I think he'll have a couple big catches in the game. Russell Wilson over under 10.5 rushing yards. Does he break off one run?
Oh, man. Over under 10.5? I'm going to say under.
I'm going to go under as well. George Pickens, over under 38.5 yards receiving.
38.5?
Or 58.5. 58, I'm sorry. I was looking at the next one.
58's a different story. I'm going to go under for George.
I think George goes over against a secondary that's just kind of average.
Okay.
Jerry Jeudy, 47.5.
Jerry Jeudy, 47.5. I'll say over. A lot of them junk yards.
I'm going to go under. Pat Freiermuth, over under 20.5.
Over. I think Pat Freiermuth has a good game tonight.
Over.
I think they do hit the middle of the field a little bit.
Over as well. Darnell Washington, over under 11.5.
11.5?
11.5.
I'm going over for Mount Washington. That's the bet of the century.
I think you should slam the over. Definitely hit the over. Over under TJ Watt. 1.5 sacks.
Over. And Myles Garrett is helping to make that happen. I know. TJ doesn't need any extra motivation. He's motivated enough already. Go tell that to, well, TJ Watt or Michael Jordan or any number of great, great athletes from the history of sports who go out of their way to look for extra motivation. If it doesn't mean anything, then why are they always looking for it? And I think Myles Garrett produced a little bit of it this week with his comments saying he shouldn't have a problem with last year. Did he say he owes him an apology? Was that part of it? I don't want to repeat something that's not true.
What Garrett was basically saying is, I'm not going to pout about not having a trophy in my house.
Right.
Like TJ Watt.
He's the bigger man.
Yeah,
Myles
right.
Garrett.
The bigger man. Because that's really been proven in this rivalry in games that have been played in Cleveland. I think over as well for TJ Watt, he gets two. Does Myles Garrett have a sack?
Myles Garrett demands apology from TJ Watt. Now, was he doing that in jest or what? And was this from just the other day? Yes, it was. Let me find the exact quote.
We're going to need a list, Joe, of the amount of people that Myles Garrett has asked for an apology for in the Steelers organization.
I've never complained about the trophy not being at my house, Garrett said. He shouldn't feel two ways about it going to me. I don't play against TJ. He doesn't play against me. And then he also acknowledged the two haven't spoken since the award was given to Garrett, which sparked a demand for an apology by Watt. Is that what happened?
I don't think so. That's not how I remember it.
Where did that line come from?
An apology from who? From
I don't
Garrett?
Know. But Garrett said, no, he didn't say anything to me. He's going to have to apologize when I see him. He did say that. Maybe I didn't see the context or the video, so you never know if something like that is said sort of lightheartedly. Get out of here, Myles Garrett. That should have gone to TJ Watt last year. I'm not going to get into this again. I've ranted about this twice this week. I'll take TJ Watt over Myles Garrett 1,000 times out of 1,000.
Every day of the week, twice on Sunday. The highest regarded player to record an interception in this game for the Steelers and for either team, Dante Jackson, +350.
Yeah, that's because they're going to throw at him the whole game.
And guess who's second?
Minka?
Minka!
What?
Fitzpatrick!
I am going Minka pick. This is Jameis here. Jameis gives everybody a chance.
The
His
gunslinger.
Receivers, the other team's corners, the other team's safeties. Everybody's in on the act when Jameis is throwing the ball. I'll say Minka gets one tonight.
Jameis, it's late in the game. Just
has
take
to
a
happen.
Knee, end the game.
Has to happen one of these years. He's got to get an interception,
and
right?
He slings it around. Yeah, I think Minka is. I think he's going to get one by the end of the regular season. This would be the perfect game to do it, but I still say no.
Next. Or is that it?
I do have a couple others if you want it.
Why did you draw a blank like that? I was scared looking in at you. Your face froze.
Joey Porter.
It happened again. What is happening in there?
Pausing for dramatic effect.
Oh, all right. Go ahead.
Joey Porter Jr. to record an interception.
Joey Porter Jr. more combined interceptions and passes defensed or penalties?
I'm going to go under on the penalties. I'm going to take the former.
All right. Interception? No. Not tonight. I'm sorry.
Chris Boswell, over, under 2.5 field goals.
Over.
You think it's an ugly game where they're just, yeah, once again, not finding the end zone?
Somewhat ugly. But he's going to kick his share. How about this? Chris Boswell, over, under 0.5 missed field goals.
Under. He's not going to miss one.
I think he misses one finally tonight. I hate to say it, but I think he will. I think it's going to be a long one. I think the wind might affect it, but he's going to miss one.
Point total, over, under 44.5.
Over.
I take the over, too.
Thank you, Limits. That was wonderful.
Thank you, Joe.
Top of the hour, I want your help. Give us a call, weigh in, how you think this game's going to go. Take a look into your crystal ball and tell us what kind of game it's going to be, whether the Steelers will win this game. We can revert back to our opening topic, which was contrary maybe to popular belief, or at least belief of some, who knows, maybe around the NFL too, that this is a house money game, that the Steelers can afford to lose this game, which in some sense they can, right? Yeah, they'll still make the playoffs, still can win the division, all of that, of course. But that just feeds into a mentality of it's not a big game, and nothing could be further from the truth. The idea here is to get the top seed in the AFC and solidify your standing in the division as far as controlling your fate and feeling good about that and having a nice lead. And if you lose tonight, I think the number one seed is shot. I do, pretty much, based on schedules and everything else. Again, if you win, you're 9-2, getting ready to play Cincy and Cleveland back-to-back, which is a great chance to be 11-2. And then how can you not be in that conversation and all the rewards, all the riches that come with the top seed? This is a huge game.